Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Bobby from BobbyOnFire.com. And it's been a while since we've recorded a story, but we're back. And I say we're back. John, our trusty friend and expertise in all things audio, he's here. And actually, John's wife, Liz, is joining us today. And Reva, our retired fire chief, force fire chief, is on. And now, thank you, Reva. And you know, Reva is the vice president of the Grassroots Wildland Firefighters, doing amazing work for federal wildland firefighters, pay and benefits issues. And she is oftentimes on the news, interviewed, testified for Congress. And so, anyway, she's telling me to stop, but I'm not. That's where we're, and John and Liz and I are on my boat on the Puget Sound. Today it's August 14th, 2023, and Anacortes is in the middle, and the whole area is in the middle of a heat wave. They said we're going to be 78 degrees today, and so, gosh, may have turned a fan on the boat.
That's one way to avoid wildfire risk. Live on a boat.
Live on a boat, yes. A little risk right here. But marinas burn too, so we won't go there. Hey, today I'm not going to tell a story as much as I want to talk about something that has come to my intellect has recognized something. That sounds highfalutin, but it's not meant to be. Over the last few years since I retired, I realized that I seem to just wait, like in the wintertime when I'm down in Arizona, I really wait for my fire friends to show up. Because when my fire friends are around, I feel like I can talk more normal. I feel like I have more in common. And so it started made me think about, has firefighting changed me? Did firefighting change who I am? And I've come to believe that absolutely it has. And let me tell you a couple of things I'm thinking about. So down in Arizona, I live in a little community. And the community is a 55 plus community. And I'm 55 plus by 13 years, so I qualify. And so there's a lot of women there my age or older. And I realize that I can't talk to them like I talk to my firefighter friends. the sense of humor is not the same. You know, if I said half the things that I say to my firefighter friends, these people would look at me like I had two heads. I made a joke one time at a coffee, and I'm not going to repeat the joke, even though I thought it was hilarious. My firefighter friends, when I told Reva, she laughed. She thought it was hilarious. But I said, should I tell the story on the recording? No, don't say that one. That's a little bit over the line. So, you know, it goes to show that maybe in the firefighting community, we have come to find things acceptable and funny that wouldn't be to the rest of the society. Now, that doesn't mean that it's just about firefighting or just about joking. That's not what this is all about. What I think is funny versus what non-firefighter friends think is funny, I think there's a big difference. And then there's a difference between fire department structural firefighters and wildland firefighters, because the structural firefighters see a lot more on a daily basis than the wildland firefighters do. The wildland firefighters see it and they're involved in it, but not to the degree and not constantly through the course of a day.
I think it's important to say that most wildland fire, like federal, rarely respond to vehicle accidents, or, you know, we don't ride on ambulances, don't roll with fire trucks. There are some wildland in urban areas that do.
Yeah.
But then there are structural fire departments with a wildland division that do. But so Bobby's talking about, you know, traditional fire departments roll up on accidents. That's their job. They roll up on accidents and they see a lot of blood and gore and injuries, and wildland don't see it at that same scale.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you get two firefighters together and you start telling stories, and a normal person would be horrified at what's being said. That's just the way it is. Now, when we have communications with, and I'll use air quotes, normal people, I think most firefighters will moderate their language. Now, if you have been on a hotshot crew and you've spent 4, 5, 6 months with this group of people, you know what I'm talking about. Normal behavior on a hotshot crew or any crew that's together, your sense of appropriateness totally evolves away from societal norms. You know, it could be an engine. You're gone for assignment after assignment, and you're in a cab of an engine for weeks at a time, working 16-hour days. You know how that is. All sorts of things become that are appropriate on that engine. You go back home, that's not appropriate anymore. So I think we all can recognize that. But then what does that do to you over the course of your life? You know, I did it for 45 years. And it occurred to me that after, you know, when I retired, I didn't think about it until I retired. And I was around, you know, non-fire people for a lot of my time. I realized, oh my God, you know, I'm a different person. And I started asking friends, has that made you different? Do you think it's made you different? And Reva, I'll ask you if you think it's made you different.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've maintained a core group of girlfriends that I grew up with. Like one, we've been friends since we were 4, right? And we're still friends, a small little group. But I am a little, I have to censor myself. And I mean, they accept me and they know I'm a little, you know, dark on the edges anyway. And they get it and they love it about me, but I still have to censor things. Yeah. And so it is very different.
You know, many of you may have listened to one of my stories on the podcast titled Listen to Your Gut. And it's about a story about a rescue when I was with the fire department. A young woman had fallen off a cliff and we searched for her, and I finally found her. And I told John the story before I was going to tell the story. I said, here's a story I have for you. And I think it's hilarious. You know, I tell him, I think it's a hilarious story. And you're probably thinking, wait a second, what? She fell off a cliff? Yes, she fell off a cliff. But there was one funny interaction with this poor woman who was, as you can imagine, falling off a cliff and falling onto rocks. It was horrific scene. But in my mind, I didn't see all of that terror. I didn't see all of the horror. I didn't see the fact that we had to rappel her down on a Stokes basket to get her off the bottom of this talus slope. I didn't see all that. I saw this one little thing that happened that she said was funny at that moment. And taken in this little minuscule little piece of the whole story, it was funny. But what did I remember? I remembered the funny part. It wasn't until I listened to the story through John's eyes and ears that I thought, oh, yeah, that probably isn't a good, you know, a funny story. It's a good story. And so the lesson of that little piece is that's how I think firefighting has changed me. I didn't see the horror. I kind of blocked it out because we have a way of, you know, having gallows humor, we call it. You know, we can make fun of it. And that's how you get through it. And Reva, you had a comment about the kind of people who, it's not just firefighters. What else do you think about? Who else has this problem?
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, anybody that's in a very fast-paced, high-consequence, exposed to trauma, you know, chaotic, anybody who works in that kind of a profession. So not just law enforcement and fire, but nurses, right? Medical profession, people in ERs. And there are many more, right? But we tend to group together a lot of first responders marry nurses or, you know, technicians or whatever, and vice versa. And I think there's comfort in people knowing the life and what you're exposed to and letting you be yourself, right? And so, yeah, I think we're drawn together in those kinds of professions.
You know, Reva and I were also talking about the trauma that you get exposed to, even if you were not on a particular call. And I, you know, if you've listened to some of my stories, you know, I was at 9/11 for a month after the attacks. And although I got there after the towers came down, I saw the rubble. I witnessed all of that, which is, you know, traumatic in itself. But what I really experienced was firefighters and cops coming up to me when I was working night shifts, especially when I was working night shift, and they would unburden themselves. They had a need to unburden themselves. And they see a woman who's an anonymous woman, it's in the shadows because of the light set up at the pile, and they would tell me these horrible, horrible incidents that they witnessed and lived through. And then I'm tagged. Now, I joke a lot about lots of incidents, you know, and I was telling John, you know, at the firehouse, if you knew someone had a little bit of a queasy stomach, you know, I can remember coming back from a call, and my captain, who was a really good guy and who should have beaten me up numerous times but didn't, I would reach over the kitchen table and I would take my fork in his spaghetti sauce that was lumpy and full of pieces of stuff that were made in the sauce, and I'd say, oh, doesn't that look just like the kitchen floor we just came from that call, you know, implying all the blood and guts, you know. And that was, of course,
hilarious.
Hilarious. And totally.
People would laugh. People would laugh.
Everybody laughed. Everybody would laugh. It was because that's just the way you're living. Now, one of the things that John asked, what did you ask about those folks who don't do that, who don't laugh?
Oh, yeah. Do they decide this job isn't for me? I take this too serious. I can't handle it.
Yeah. And so one of the things, now this is not based on anything scientific, this is just an observation. Some of the people that I worked with who had a difficult time with the blood and the guts and the stress. What about seeing a subdivision go up in flames? I mean, wildland firefighters don't see as much blood and guts, but the trauma you experience when you're fighting fire and you're losing people's homes, that really affects you. My experience is the people who had a really, really hard time with that and couldn't compartmentalize that didn't stay in the business. And so maybe... Yeah. Go ahead.
You were talking about that kind of humor that we all share is a very important coping mechanism.
Coping.
Like there is research and studies that show that, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a way of compartmentalizing so that you can keep doing your job and not go insane.
Yeah.
I can see how it'd be disabling if you're thinking about all the pain and trauma you've seen in the last 24 hours or whatever.
Well, remember, John, we have this another story called, the title of the story on the podcast is Saving the Boy in the Abyss. And it's a story that I never gave too much thought to. It was about a rescue that I led when I was with the fire department. It was a mine rescue. Some kids got into an old mine and they went across through the drifts and then down the shafts and then up these old ladders, and anyway it was a technical rescue to save this young kid, and I remember telling John, who, and as you guys listeners know, John was a wildland firefighter for a few years back in his youth, many years ago. And John was like, you were impacted by that story. I know you bring it up sometimes. And so I think that's, you know, I think we're all able to cope with different things. And I think those of us who've been in the business a long time, we had to find a way to cope with it.
I think that humor was the only acceptable way for a long time. You didn't want to say, you didn't want to show, oh my gosh, I'm really having a hard time dealing with that, because you didn't want to feel like you were weak or come off that you can't handle the job. I mean, especially if you're a woman, you know, there's so much pressure on being a woman in this business and proving that you can handle it physically, mentally, emotionally, all of it, that any sign of something that could be construed as weakness, you didn't want to have. And so it's only, I think, until, you know, the past few years that it's becoming more acceptable to talk about when humor is not helping you really, and you need more help and more intervention than just joking around with your coworkers.
You know, 30 years ago, my fire department had enough foresight to realize we needed to be able to talk about this. And we had a mental health professional on call. You came back from a really tough call. Anyone could make the call, and the mental health professional would come to the fire station. You took your engine out of service for an hour, and this guy sat with us in a circle talking about what we just saw. Now, we're doing that now in the Federal Wildlands Fire Service much more so now than we ever did. So we're making progress. But the point is, it's, you know, it's one thing to have a coping mechanism of laughing and joking. It's another that you got to take care of your mental health. But I think we're different. I think in my opinion, and I think Reva, and I've asked people this over the last few years, do you think you're a different person now than you would have been had I stayed in natural resource management and never gone to the fire department and never gone back into the Federal Fire Service, would I be the same person I am now? And I don't think so. I don't think so. For better or for worse.
We were talking about it earlier too. It makes it difficult for us to fit in outside of this life, like I talked about earlier, you know, and we have to kind of censor ourselves, and particularly being a woman, if we're at a social gathering and the guys I work with, wives are there too, I don't have a lot in common with them, right? And so I don't typically hang out with them and chat. I'm talking with the guys that I work with, and that can not always be perceived very well. So it's a tough line to walk, particularly, again, I think it's a woman.
I have friends in the structure firefighter world, and some of the worst problems they have are with the guys they work with their wives. They get along great with their coworkers in the station, but they're seen with suspicion by the wives. But anyone have anything they want to make? Reva, anything else?
No, I don't think so.
So
we're not complaining. We think it's awesome. We love who we are.
Yeah. Well, we do. The others might not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Makes sense that your job changes you. Whatever the job is, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, though, if you are a CPA, it's not like you are most comfortable hanging out with CPAs. I don't think that's the case. Or if you are the hardware manager at Ace Hardware, you know, you probably don't only like to hang out with Ace Hardware managers.
I don't think the CPAs are hanging out for weeks at a time.
Right.
Doing 16-hour day shifts.
Right.
Sleeping together in makeshift tents.
Yeah. So here's the moral to the story, I think, is recognize what this job does to us. Whether you're a city firefighter, you're a county, you're a wildland firefighter, this job changes you. The nature of the work, the long hours, like John just said, those, if you're on a hotshot crew and you're running for 6 months straight and you're getting your 3 days R&R when you come back and then you're out again, that is changing you. Now, if you've been doing this for a while, you know it's changing you. But if you're like me, I didn't even pay attention to it. I just kept my nose down. I just kept working and, you know, getting after it because that was the job. And then, you know, finally I retire and I'm like, oh my gosh, huh. I don't have as much in common with a lot of these people as I thought I might. So take care of yourselves. You might be listening to this story during fire season if you're listening to it right after it gets posted, but maybe you're listening to it in the winter. Whenever you hear the story, think about yourself and how you can take care of yourself. And if you're not a firefighter, but you have a friend or a family member who is, think about that. Look at them in a way that you recognize that their job is impacting on them and making them a different person, and be aware of that. With that, folks, I'm going to sign off. Thanks. Don't forget the book, Both Sides of the Fire Line, from Chicago Review Press. It's a good book, I'm told, and I'd love for you to read it and let me know what you think. Thanks, everyone.